It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
And I get to enjoy like everybody else gets to enjoy. The Dr. Brian Bulaga takeover, because you're so nice.
Jason, good evening. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am good. So I just want to jump right into it. I just want to get right into it. What is the word on the street in Green Bay about what's going on with 23? What is the word? What are you hearing? I mean, we talked a little bit on your show. I didn't really understand. I mean, I haven't read a bunch about it because I knew I was going to talk to you today. What have you heard about, I guess, what contract has been offered or what do you, have you heard? I mean, what's going on with this, essentially?
Well, I mean, first of all, look, the fact that there's an offer certainly draws everyone's attention, and rightfully so. I'm not poo-pooing the significance of that, but they've been talking for months now, right? And you know this, having gone through negotiations, whether it's for an extension or for a free agent signing where you're re-signing with the team, or you're signing with a new team after the Packers didn't re-sign you and you signed with the Chargers. Like, there's, you know, exchanges back and forth and whatever else. Well, Goody told us in March that he was talking to Jair's agent, John Thornton, every week. So, you know, I mean, they're not just calling saying, hey, have you started playing pickleball yet? It's a really fun game. I hear Tauscher's got a place in Green Bay where I can play. Like, they're not just calling to chit-chat. So they're obviously, they've been working on this in some form or fashion. And the reason why I think that that's germane to what we're talking about here is that, you know, yeah, it's great that there's an offer on the table, but as Matt Schneidman, who reported it, said, like, that doesn't mean he's going to take it, right? Like, there's no guarantee that he's going to. And I thought it was really interesting yesterday that basically the way that Xavier McKinney talked about it, it was, we all want him here, which I totally believe him, but he's got to do what's best for him. And ultimately, I want this to be something that turns out to be, you know, what's best for him. Well, that is interesting in and of itself because, you know, that could mean turning this offer down. And, you know, I know you and I and Tausch talked about this when you were on, but, you know, let's not lose sight of the fact that essentially the most important part of the story to me was that he intends to come for the mandatory minicamp, if not before. So he might come next week. He might be there when I'm there on Tuesday. And he's doing that because that is a pressure point. Because, again, the Packers don't want him out. It's fascinating to juxtapose him with Elgton Jenkins. Elgton Jenkins doesn't want to be out there without more guarantees of the money that's existing in the final 2 years of his contract for fear of, you know, possibly suffering some sort of freak injury. At the same time, he's got to weigh the idea of potentially being fined if he doesn't come to the mandatory minicamp on June 10th. On the flip side, Jair wants to come in because it forces the Packers, who don't want him on the field without the contract being adjusted, to reduce their risk and reduce what they have to pay him. So, you know, this, I know I sound like a broken record, but this is not some sort of magnanimous, gosh, what a great teammate Jair is. He wants to be with his teammates. Like, I think he does want to be with his teammates, but that's not the primary reason he wants to report to the minicamp. He wants to report so they have to say either, hey, you know, this is our final offer, or B, they improve the offer and there's more guaranteed money and less, oh, you got to earn this by staying healthy money, or C, look, we're not going to do this deal at all. This is it, and if you don't want it, we're going to cut you. So, you know, the scenario would be either to improve the contract and sign the adjusted contract and participate, take it as their last and final offer and decide it's better than what you might find on the open market, or say, okay, well, this is too low for me. I want to practice. I'm going to be out there. And then they have to say, well, then we have to cut you because we can't stop you from practicing.
Correct. Yeah. Very interesting. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's going to be fun to watch. So do you think that Elton is going to take it through the minicamp?
I don't know. You know, I have not traded text messages with him for a while now. And I haven't spoken to his agent. So I don't know what his plan is because, you know, and I joked about this with you, yesterday with us that you were smart enough not to, get pigeonholed into being a NFLPA rep. Tausch was, and Tausch is a really smart guy. And I can't imagine that he was, you know, on board with some of the lame concessions that the NFLPA got, right? Like less practice time and all this other stuff. And among the foolish things in the last CBA, or maybe it was in the 2011 CBA, was that like these fines, like they basically gave teams carte blanche to fine the crap out of you if you no-show. Like they made it so that some of it is mandatory. Like they can't even rescind the fines. So basically then they, you know, you have to negotiate them paying you more to pay off the fines.
So why the players agree to it?
Cause they're foolish.
Yep.
Like I just don't like, and I understand it's hard to get, you know, 52 or 53 players times 32 teams plus, you know, the other guys that are on the practice squads and whatever else. Like, I get it. It's hard to get people to agree on anything. They can't even order lunch and get everyone to agree. But they seem to take these lame victories and then they lose on all the important stuff. Like, you know, Rodgers,
Let me just ask one quick thing, though, Jason. Has anybody actually paid the fines? I mean, I'm going to assume the leaders of the players said, don't worry about it. They'll give you all the money back. You're not really going to be fined, so we're really not giving anything up.
I think guys have definitely been fined.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
And in Devontae's case, like I think that was part of the reason why he didn't hold in. Now, guys have gotten smarter, and they've come in with these phantom injuries. My arm. So they're there, but they're not able to participate. Or they choose not to participate and say they're unable. But no, I do think that some of that is real, and I think it was a dumb thing to give up to owners. I just don't, that's another thing I don't understand. But hey, Jeff Saturday got less arduous off-season practices. So way to go, Jeff. But look, the truth is that, you know, if I'm Elton, I don't feel like I'm asking for a lot. Like, I'm asking for money that's already in the contract. I just want you to guarantee some of it. And if your whole offensive line plan is predicated on me being your center, then I don't think that's an unreasonable ask. And I think it's a reasonable thought process for him to say, hey, I got at least a little bit of leverage. I got to try and use it because my contract is not player friendly. And we have seen time and time and time and time again that guys later in their contracts, with them not being guaranteed in football except for these draft pick contracts, that you're probably – I mean, there's a distinct possibility that he plays okay this season, gets paid what he's scheduled to be paid this year, and Goody says, hey, man, you know, you got a monstrous cap number. We love you. We think the world of you, but, you know, it's business. It's not friends, and we're gonna make Jacob Monk our new starting center. And we wish you and your family the best with your next team. Like, that's not all. We can't say that that's never going to happen. So I just don't think what he wants is unreasonable. And hopefully cooler heads prevail. And we don't have a showdown on June 10th on whether or not he's there.
Speaking of that offensive line, how did that look lining up on first day of OTAs, Jason?
So it was from left to right, it was Rashid Walker at left tackle with some snaps. for Jordan Morgan with the ones at left tackle. It was Aaron Banks at left guard. It was Jacob Monk at center with Sean Ryan getting some snaps at center at times. It was Sean Ryan at right guard, except when he would kick into center and Jordan Morgan would work there. So Jordan Morgan took first team reps both at right guard and at left tackle. And then it was Zach Tom at right tackle with no one else there. Anthony Belton played left tackle with the twos and threes during the two-spot period. He played some right tackle as well. He played a little bit of guard, so they put him everywhere. But the only place where, well, the only two places where there was seemingly actual competition were wherever they put Jordan Morgan at various times. So take that for what it's worth.
So essentially it was at left tackle. And the only reason why there was any right guard rotation is because there was center rotation.
Yeah, unless it was more of a we want to rotate Jordan Morgan, and not because we're rotating Sean Ryan to center because Elton's not here, but because we want our first round pick on the field, and if he's not going to beat out Shido, which apparently is Rasheed Walker's new nickname from Butkus, kept calling him Shido, which seems like a really bad nickname.
I call him Starter.
I believe you will be proven correct on that. But the bottom line is that, you know, they want Jordan Morgan on the field, and they have to figure out a place to get him. And either way, he's basically taking the spot of a guy that's in a contract here. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if those guys both fend him off and he's the sixth man. You know, Brian, from personal experience with both yourself and with other guys that you played with, that you're not going to get through the season. I mean, it's crazy. They played like 89% of their snaps last year with the same starting five. You know, that is unusual. You guys did it in 14 when you missed the second game of the year after you got hurt in Seattle, right?
Yeah.
But you only missed one game. And that was the one game missed by a starter all season on the offensive line. That stuff does not happen.
Yeah,
I'm with you in that club. So if you have no Jenkins, you're going to have Sean Ryan at center and Jordan Morgan at right guard. That's my theory. You joining my club?
I would say, yeah, I would join that club. I mean, look, Jacob Monk was a fifth-round pick. Corey Linsley was a fifth-round pick, right? I mean, you know, you look at all these other guys that were fourth-round picks, you know, Zach Tom, Bakhtiari, Sitton, Lang. Like, there are good players to be had that are fourth- and fifth-round picks on the offensive line. So I'm not writing Jacob Monk off. I would just say that I thought it was very telling that when they lost Elton and then they lost Josh Myers in that playoff game, and Jacob Monk was active, they still didn't put him in. So, you know, and it wasn't like the two guys that played guard were so star-spangled awesome after Elton got hurt that you couldn't take them off the field. So, Jacob Monk seems like a conscientious, hard-working dude. Reminds me a little bit of Scott Wells, not with his personality, because he's not really a fiery type, but with this, like, shorter, stouter, you know, kind of that leverage guy, Brian, you know, the wrestlers, like getting low on you. So he could be very effective. I haven't seen him do much to know one way or the other, but, you know, he is an option at least for now.
Well,
and
it comes down who's worse, Jacob Monk at center or Jordan Morgan at right guard, right?
Yeah.
As to what you do.
I'll join that club too.
Yeah.
Do I get free breakfast at Ted's?
Yeah, whenever you want. Not only you, your entire family. You bring your family in anytime you want to Ted's. Homer's buying.
Do you have to be there?
I do not. No. Nope.
Okay. That's a pretty good deal.
I'd rather you were there. That is a good deal, but I'd rather you be there.
Bulaga's as well, but he's never going to be there. He doesn't come to Wisconsin much.
Well, come pick him up in your new Lincoln.
All right, fine. Yeah. You can do that, too.
Yeah, new Lincoln, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
MXS, I think it is. I didn't even know the kind of car that it is. Yes. The nicest car I've driven since 1972. I was going to suggest that they change my name to Sir Homer, but that didn't go over real well, so I'm still Homer.
Jason, how'd the any changes in the defensive lineup, how guys lined up on defense, are pretty much same as what we saw, how they finished out last year?
Yeah, so Quay Walker didn't practice. Kenny Clark didn't practice. Their front four from left to right was, well, they flip-flopped some, which was one thing that we know Lucas Van Ness did not do last year after he broke his thumb, but it was Rashawn Gary on the left side. Then it was Colby Wooden along with Devontae Wyatt on the two inside spots, and then it was LVN on the outside. They played Hopper in place of Quay as the third linebacker when they were in base, and then it was, you know, they rotated all the safeties like they rotated the wide receivers with the ones, but it was primarily Evan Williams with X. And then, you know, they did have Hobbs and Nixon as the two outside corners in the base. And then Carrington Valentine came in and the nickel played outside and Hobbs came inside.
Okay. So that's going to look – so say Jair stays, right? That defense is going to look awfully interesting on the back end then, right? With Hobbs and –
yeah, they're going to have a ton of options, right? Yeah. I mean, look, the keeping Jair Alexander, who I think everyone agrees is still a good player when he plays, and those three words are so important, when he plays. But, you know, Carrington Valentine is – I'm sorry, but I think he's got incredible potential, and combined with actual pelts on the wall, having started 22 games, including three playoff games in his first 2 years as a seventh round pick. So, you know, they like Hobbs because he's got the inside out versatility. Keyshawn Nixon has the inside out versatility. They've got a lot of options there. And then at safety, I mean, they had five different guys start at least one game next to X. I mean, that's crazy that they have that many options. And it's not like it's just, oh, we don't have anybody. They're all kind of mediocre. Like, Evan Williams is a good player. The guy that seems to be, at least for now, the odd man out is Javon Bullard, who they like the fact that he could play the slot. He could play true safety. Like, and yesterday he was kind of the guy that just, you know, got rotated in, but he feels at the moment, at least, kind of a man without a country.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
See you, Ted. Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. From the court to the classroom and the community, the Champions for Literacy Celebration with Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener will be an evening you don't want to miss. Join Wade, I call him the Hall of Fame humanitarian, and Diener on June 27th at the Garage at the Harley-Davidson Museum. Make an impact by raising funds for literacy. Get tickets and full event information right now. WadeVersusDiener.GiveSmart.com. WadeVersusDiener.GiveSmart.com. I don't care how far we're behind. Oh, let's have Brian. Let's let Bulaga. Yeah, we went so long. He now has to get in one of his two. He's now doing two partners a show. Wow. Take it away, Doc.
Yeah, let's talk about my friends over at Surfside. Living in Florida, I am on the golf course a lot, and it's hot out here. I mean, to tell you what, it's like 98 degrees out here today, and it's hot. And when it's time to reach for a cold beverage, it's always going to be a Surfside iced tea and lemonade plus vodka. That's right, it's always going to be that. And guess what? It's about golf season in Wisconsin right now too. Homer, what is it? 75 degrees there right now. That's about time.
That's mean.
What, it's not even that warm yet?
Oh, no. Oh, my God. They played the Women's U.S. Open at Erin Hills. I think it was 60, right? Pebble?
Oh,
maybe 60.
Okay. Oh,
they're all wearing sweaters, hoods.
Oh. Okay. Well, even if it's not that warm yet, there's still no better drink to have on the course of the Surfside. It's light, refreshing, and made with real vodka. It tastes cleaner than all the other drinks. It doesn't leave your mouth coated in sugar and feeling all gross. And there's a great variety of flavors. Half tea, half lemonade, strawberry lemonade, peach tea, and so many more. Only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. That's right, no carbonation, so you won't be feeling full and bloated after a drink or two. Cheers to hitting the fairway, and cheers to Surfside. It's tea time. Must be 21 years or older. Please drink responsibly.
And your state, your teams, your ESPN, the brand new ESPN Wisconsin app, a customizable homepage, easier and quicker live listening. Your show's the touch of a fingertip. It's not Wisconsin on demand anymore. It's the new ESPN Wisconsin app, available on Apple and Android app stores. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. Download the ESPN Wisconsin app today. I don't know what quarter it is. I know we're late. Next.